Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The world of fine wine is known to be prohibitively expensive and generally reserved only for the super rich.
However, in the early 2000s, a young man named Rudy Kerniawan mysteriously appeared on the wine auction circuit and immediately made a name for himself.
Rudy became known for his impressive wine knowledge and for his almost unbelievable collection of fine wines valued at millions of dollars.
Questions started surrounding him and his collection, and when various powerful investors discovered fraudulent wines in the cellars, all roads seemed to lead to Rudy.
Was Rudy single-handedly to blame for this widespread conning of the world of wine?
Betches Media presents Not Another True Crime Podcast. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
I always love a rich episode because it just makes me feel poor.
I know. These people were spending millions on wine, and I'm like, $15 is my budget.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can be in the Chateau of Diana. That's my region.
I love Chateau Diana. It's not even wine. It's like wine product that they sell at the grocery store.
Hey, girl, that's high C. You could send your kid to school. Don't try it, but you could send them to school with Chateau Diana, and I feel that it's legal.
Well, that explains why I like their Chardonnay, because it's just juice.
Just juice. I got the juice.
I love it. I love it. Well, welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm your co-host, Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy. And this episode, we're quite literally your partners in wine, crime, and time.
Oh, my God.
Because they all overlap in this one. It's a wine crime.
Yeah, I know. What if we only do wine-related crimes from now on?
I'm sure. There's a few.
Yeah. I know. We'd run out after like three, but I'm sure there's like, we could be the experts on wine-based crimes. And this was one of the first ones.
Oh, this was the first one. This man is referred to as the wine scammer. So he kind of got that title nice and fast.
I feel like they could have gotten like a better, for the first wine scammer, like they could have called him something better than the wine scammer, you know?
I know. Well, I do like, I mean, we'll get to it. Like his nickname could have worked better for it.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm just saying there's options there. But I guess everyone was too drunk or hungover to think of a catchy phrase for him.
That is true. I watched this documentary called Sour Grapes, which you can watch for free on like IMDb somehow.
Happy for them. Don't know what that entails.
Oh, yeah, I know. But they said they, at one of the last big auctions, everybody was just like wasted off of this expensive wine.
Which, and I'm like, it's crazy because I'm like, yeah, God bless. But also I'm like, that is like $200 a sip. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. But then I'm also like, do you get less of a hangover if it's expensive wine?
Now that's a theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would hope so. Probably not. But
I know. That's kind of what I think. I'm like, if so, it's not worth the investment, but I guess I could understand.
That's like when the scribble is worth $2 million because it was like made by this mean guy versus I'm like, I could just scribble on my wall and then be an artist.
Regardless. Oh, yeah, that. Tape a banana to my own wall. How about that?
Amen to that. But that's why I never shade the artiste. I shade the buyer.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of my MO on this one a little bit, too.
Yeah, because I feel like they're even like, look, there's really no way. First of all, I don't even know how these people knew that their wine was fake. Well, we'll get into it. But like, I don't think that you're going to know by tasting the wine.
No. Everything's a facade.
Right. Unless this guy was putting barefoot in these like vintage bottles, right? But other than that, like I don't see how you would know.
No. It's like nobody's going to know. They're going to know. Nobody's going to know. But the TikTok sound ends. They're not going to know for a while and they will know.
Yeah, for a while. Until you get really sloppy, which I'm excited to talk about.
He's
that
a sloppy drunk.
Well.
Yeah. All right.
A sloppy drunk and a sloppy wine counterfeiter. We're going to talk about our lovely wine counterfeiter. His name is Rudy Kurniawan. He was born in Indonesia and is of Chinese descent. And honestly, I don't know very much about his early life. Like, I don't think anyone does. I think that's also kind of the mystique.
Very much so.
Yeah. What we do know is that he came to the U.S. in the 1990s on a student visa, and then that expired. He tried to get political asylum in 2003, but was denied. So he decided to stay here anyway, illegally, because if he left the country, he like wouldn't be able to come back, essentially. So he was like, I'm staying here. You know, we all go on vacation and we're like, I live here now.
Yeah, like this gives me my new personality times a million. Literally a vacation of going away being like, I think I'm just going to work in wine in France, except in America.
Ugh, I wish.
I wish so much.
Truly. And people in this documentary kind of just described him as a geeky, skinny guy, which, I don't know, was also hilarious to me because like nobody on the rich people wine circuit is like, a fucking supermodel out there.
No, exactly. You don't got George Clooney's doing tequila. He's not with the wine. And also, I looked up like pictures of him. It's like, he had glasses.
I'm like, he just looks like a normal guy.
He was skinny, which I'm like, that's a, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Like, I don't know. I don't think he looked geeky, but who knows what that is about.
That's some jealousy.
But one of... Yeah, jealousy. Yeah, one of his friends who was in that documentary described him as having a short attention span. Which is real. Same.
That happens after some wine.
Yes, true. So when this was all going down, he was living with his mom in Arcadia, California. And he has an older brother who we'll talk about in a second. As you guys know, this is not really a spoiler. This guy is a scammer. So that means we're working with multiple aliases.
Ooh.
So his legal name is Rudy Kurniawan, but he operated under a couple of different names. One of them was Lenwadi Tan, or Lenny Tan, which incidentally is his mom's name.
Get the mom involved. I mean, oh my gosh.
Well, this is why this documentary kind of posited that this was a family affair.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another like weird fact is that Rudy's name is actually the same name that a famous Indonesian badminton player has. And so is his brother's, Dar Saputra. That is also the name of a famous Indonesian badminton player.
I guess their mom is a fan of Batman.
That, or they took their names because they were like, that's nobody true. In America is going to know famous Indonesian badminton players. Well, and that's kind of right.
It almost reminds me of the Saudi prince one. Where it's like, no one's going to know the royalty
God.
Over there. Yeah, like these people aren't going to Google.
I was thinking about him the other day. Oh, I miss that guy.
God bless.
Hope he's doing well. So... We don't really know, like, what his family does. Like, the wine people kind of thought that they operated a big Heineken distributorship in Indonesia. I don't know. It was really kind of, like, sketchy. Like, nobody really knew his backstory. They just knew that he had money, so they, like, didn't really ask questions.
I feel that is the hack for most scammers. It's like people are more inclined to listen to money than any detail. Like if someone whips out 500, you're not going to be like, where'd you get that from and where are you from? You're just going to be like, I'm on their tab. And that's just that.
Oh, 100%. Oh, he's paying. Yeah, but like apparently the man knew his wines. Like he could taste like any wine and almost correctly identify like almost what every wine was. So he had the chops.
Hey, you know, shout out.
Right, where I'd be like Michael Scott being like, this is so white. Yeah, so I mean, he got into the wine auctioning scene, which what a scene to get into.
Ugh, goals.
Yeah, and he got super into, at first, Pinot Noirs and then Burgundies. Like, he just wanted to start buying up really nice ones.
I feel that is kind of on par. I feel we all have the friend who like gets into like a specific type of wine and then like that's sort of the personality where they're like, oh.
Agree.
Is it not a Sauvignon Blanc? I cannot drink it. And you're like, okay.
I mean, that's literally me. So
I mean, but also it is me too.
But I'm like, I don't care how much it costs. Oh. I don't like red wine because I am a baby.
That's fair.
Yeah. So he loved his Burgundies and he especially loved this one called Domaine de la Romanée Conti. And was later called Dr. Conti for it. So that's kind of funny.
That is a
which should have been his real thing, Dr. Conti.
Conti, I love that's like perfect.
Yeah. So he kind of, he entered the scene. He started quickly making a name for himself. He would just like spend all this money and all this stuff. He was just like wheeling and dealing, like throwing down cash, as you mentioned. And it gave me Anna Delvey vibes in the sense that like nobody knew where the money came from, but nobody questioned it.
No one questioned it. No one knew like, how do you, because like the only person I've seen successfully ask, where do you get your money from, is Garcelle Beauvau on Real Housewives of the Hills to sign. And even when she asked, she didn't get the answer. So it's a very hard question to even ask if you have that in the back of your mind.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think people, it was kind of rumored. I don't know if Rudy started the rumors, but it was like rumored that he was a son of this wealthy family and he was getting lots of money from the family. And everybody just kind of like was like, all right, we'll go with that. We'll choose to believe that.
You're like, okay.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is he's believed to have almost single-handedly changed the wine auctioning scene. So like, he would go in and spend absurd amounts of money buying a specific category of wine, like Burgundy from whatever year. And then once he had gotten almost all of it and driven up the price, because he purchased it himself, he would then start selling it back to people. So he was just like a freaking market manipulator. I love the snaps.
You have to give snaps. And also, it is kind of funny, we can talk about this later, but I remember in one of the articles where I was like, they made mention of this. I was like, it's so true. It's like when people buy wine for restaurant and then like a glass of wine is basically like the price of the bottle.
The price of the bottle.
I'm like, wait, are we always getting scammed by wine? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I remember when I was working at like a bar / music venue and like the GM of the bar told me that about the wine. And I was like, oh, cool.
Because I love me some Matua Sauvignon Blanc and it's like 11 to get at the store, but a glass of it is 13. And I'm like,
Seriously.
It make sense.
I know. I love when I feel classy, like, ooh, my glass of wine is $14. And then I'm like, all right.
I don't know, but I just played myself.
I did. Like, all I need is just like a, I don't know, distributor license or whatever, you know?
Right.
And buy my wine in bulk.
That's how you start scamming.
That's like, how I just start scamming restaurants by being like, no thanks. I brought my own.
You scam restaurants by using your kitchen to cook the final laugh. Right? Impossible. Impossible.
So the thing is that like, while it does kind of just seem like, you know, a good auction strategy, just run-of-the-mill market manipulation, that would be all well and good, I guess. I don't really know how it works, except that he also made literal millions of dollars by just like scamming wine snobs out of their money, which, again, we begrudgingly respect.
That's the issue, because it does remind me of the Art Heist documentary where I'm just kind of like, oh, this is bad, but it's like, okay, it's Robin Hood energy, but illegal.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it seriously is. So, and even better, honestly. So Rudy really found himself a part of this tasting group that was named the Angry Men. Probably for what happens when they have too much wine in them. But so they were a group of these like mostly white old guys who would open these absurdly pricey bottles of wine and drink them, which, whatever, I'm not going to hate on them for it. Like, you know, what else are you going to do with that? Yes, yeah. I suppose let it appreciate in value. But hey, man, you bought it. It's yours to drink.
You know, amen, shout out. What's the car going to do on the lot? What's the car going to do in the driveway without being driven?
Exactly. They meet 8 times a year. And I don't know that I believe this fact, but apparently they drink hundreds of thousands of bottles of wine at every sitting.
Oh, I believe that.
No, hundreds of
fact.
Thousands of dollars.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Of wine. I was like, what? Okay, no, I was like, these guys would be dead, or they're literally like the Illuminati and there's like millions of them.
They would, or they'd be that like that super giant guy who could eat like drink so much beer and never, I forget his name, but he was like a little giant whose like beer cans were like the size of like his like pinky thumb.
Andre the Giant.
Wait, what? I know about him, but I didn't know about his beer drinking.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
He like could just drink so much like so much beer and not get drunk. It wasn't like the BMI or whatever. Yeah, it wasn't the famous effect.
That is so funny.
That's a bonus fact for all the new Apple Podcast listeners after we got our shout out.
That was probably Jorge's first question on a trivia. Too late. But yeah, so they would just drink like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth in wine every time they would meet 8 times a year. You guys do the math. And these men. I mean, it doesn't get much more like rich old white men than this, because here was they would take notes. Here were some of the tasting notes that came from that group. In the first corner, we have the layers of spice, vanilla, forest, and mint were mind-boggling, and the concentration and texture seemed infinitely long, with rich acids lingering like call girls at casinos. I mean, hey, I think I'm going to steal this if I launch my own wine label.
Because in a sense, I was like, I kind of want to taste it.
Mint, I don't know how I feel about like mint in a wine, though.
I feel like it's kind of because it's like a sharpness to it.
I mean, right. I say that like I can taste a single note in wine. Like, I remember going to this wine tasting one time and they were like, come on, don't be shy. What do you taste? And I'm like, crickets.
And some guy goes, I hope you didn't taste actual crickets.
No. And some guy is like, I think I'm picking up some black pepper. And I'm like, sure. Yeah, that. Totally.
There are times, though, like when I feel like they're like, oh my God, say whatever. And I'll say something. They're like, that's not what you taste. And I'm like, okay, but. Ooh. It is. So here we are.
Oh, you can't say there are no wrong answers when there are wrong answers.
When there are wrong answers.
That's not nice. Okay, here's another one. The wine had a positive, soul-warming, soup-like quality that carried over to the plate. What? It got a Korean barbecue edge and sweatier in the glass. What? A good sweaty, like, sex, 94 points. Okay, so guys, the rest of this podcast is going to be dissecting this bizarre note.
Like, it's a, like, I'm like a soup-like? Sweaty, that makes me repulsed.
Yeah, I don't, okay, like, I don't understand. Chunky? Yeah, why is it soup-like? I guess any liquid could be soup-like.
And why are you fucking Korean barbecue? Like that, I just have a lot of ew. Questions.
Yeah,
like,
and why is it being carried over onto a plate? I don't understand that detail.
Well, I would say that probably means it complements the food.
Oh, good job.
So I can dissect that. Look at
you
that.
Learn things at wine tastings.
Yeah.
I was like, are they spilling it? I don't understand.
But it loses me at the good, sweaty, like, good sex, where I'm like,
and Korean one. Barbecue edge.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means at all. At all.
I'm like, I like Korean barbecue. I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a wine that reminds me of Korean barbecue.
Mm-hmm. Nope, can't say I have. And, you know, but 94 points, 94 points.
Yeah, 94 points. Okay, good to go. Good to know. So basically how Rudy would scam these people, the angry men?
The angry men.
The angry men who then became angry because they got scammed. But he would essentially take less expensive wine and put more expensive labels on the wine. Jeez. And then take them to auction and sell them for a huge markup.
Here's my thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if the labels, he's like, this is what it's sell. It's like, if you think of it at a literal level, he's like, this is this wine with this thing on. You know what I mean? You kind of get where.
I don't get what you mean at all, but I really do appreciate you trying to, like, go to bat for Rudy.
I know. Rudy, if you have any money left, give it to me. I'm helping you.
Right. I mean, it is straight fraud, but, like. Okay, here's the thing. I would respect the operation more if it was less of a mess, and we'll get into that shortly.
That's some truth.
But he did this mostly on his beloved Burgundy wines and also some Napa wines. And he was kind of running this operation out of the home in Arcadia. And I'm like, what does his mom think about this? But he made in case anybody needs a new career change, for legal reasons, I can't officially endorse this, but I will just tell you that he made a fuck ton of money doing this.
If you're rich listening and you're like, fuck, there's no good auctions happening. If you want to pay off my student loans, auction them off to you. I'm like,
oh my God, I'll give you a bargain. You could pay less than the listing price on those babies.
Oh yeah. And I'll put in a bottle of wine. I'll throw in a bottle of wine, my treat to you.
Right. And you're like investing in my career. So, I mean.
Okay. Any Rudy's out there.
Right.
And also, it seems like a pretty good gig for him. So, could keep this going for a while. But of course.
It was like years that he was doing
this. Yeah. So, he was getting away from it because, except if you're in the Angry Men group. And also, that was just for their special occasions. People buy. It's sort of like buying vintage where you don't really typically don't wear it out. So, like. With this very fancy and expensive wine, you don't really drink it. It's more so for like display, or if you have a huge cellar, just to be like, oh, I have this wine. And even if you did, Y'all in a small circle of people who own this or like can still have this wine. So you don't really know what it's supposed to taste like because it's not like a wine that's like mass produced that, or it shouldn't be a wine that's like mass produced that like you've had at a restaurant, or you've had at a party before.
Exactly. Like you're not drinking it every day. You're not going to know.
And even if they like someone was like, I feel it almost is like kind of like ego or pride if they're like, this doesn't taste like the wine that it's supposed to be. It almost makes you look bad. It also looks rude and raises suspicions.
Super rude.
Yeah. So you just kind of, it's like, it's very gauche, I would say, to do that. Gauche, using the gauche
word.
Ooh,
good word. Oh, yeah. One thing I was going to say about all the money spending on this wine was that I know in the documentary they were like, well, think of this wine as like art. It's art for us. It's drinkable art. And I'm like, I don't know. Just like get some real art that you can actually hang on your wall.
Get a Degas.
And not just like stow in a basement.
Because that's what I don't get. I'm like, because also I'm like, I guess art can break. But I'm like, this is a bottle of wine that either will fall, get drank, or just get dusty in a corner in your basement.
Versus yeah, like, and then like turn to vinegar because you forgot about it.
Mm-hmm. Versus like art that you display prominently.
Right.
I do need to buy more art, but not art that's very expensive.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
So he had a good thing going for him. But of course, like the last glass of wine in a bottle, it comes to an end. He had one too many.
All good things must do that. Yep.
Yeah, he had one too many. Probably glasses of wine and also lies. White wine lies. Ooh, that would be a good. I mean, I guess he mainly sold red. But.
That's like my Hulu miniseries starring Nicole Kidman.
What accent? And you tune in every week. She does a different accent.
Oh, yes. That's what I would absolutely do. Mm-hmm. And they're all terrible.
Oh, yeah, but you're just too drunk on white wine to notice. That actually could be a show. So he tried to pass this bottle of wine from Clos Saint-Denis from Domaine Ponceau as a vintage from 1945 to 1971. So we're talking vintage. No shade if you were born in those years. God bless you.
I know. I guess I'm like, dang, the bar for vintage wines is kind of low.
Soon we're going to be vintage.
We probably already are.
We probably are.
That's what I'm saying, because I'm like, it's the early 2000s and you're talking about wine in the 70s. Like,
that's true.
This hurts. Oh
God, it's going to be like, soon it's going to be like Tang is vintage. But the head of the wine house, Laurent Ponceau, oh, I love that name, Laurent Ponceau, knew that his family only started making wine at that specific vineyard in 1982.
Whoops.
Whoops. You didn't Google Maps that? You didn't MapQuest that back in 2004 well enough.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
So that already is one red wine red flag. Then you have this other one.
Wait, that should be a game that we play.
Ooh, red wine red flag. And it's just you drink red wine and ignore all the red flags.
Oh, yeah. It's like how I date.
So, but also at the same time, Bill Koch found fake wine in his collection. So in this documentary.
I don't know how he really determined that it was fake, honestly.
I also did not know either, but he determined it. And also, but the thing is, you sometimes just have to say it and then the wheels start turning.
True.
He took a leap of faith. So in the documentary Sour Grapes, he shows off 5 bottles of wine that he bought from Rudy's lot that he found to be fake. Here's the price tag of each of them, or the price tag of these bottles, $100,000. Yeah.
Ooh, that's got to hurt.
That is 500 grand.
You're right. Wine. That took me a second. I was like, oh, yeah.
That is just like, oh my God. So,
but here's the thing. I'm like, it's still real wine. Like you can still drink it. Oh, now
you're
trying to,
okay.
You're right.
You're hearing me, but no, you know what
I
mean.
Well, I guess it's more of like the concept of fake wine. I'm like, you're getting something.
You're getting wine.
But I get it. It's like if I were to go buy like a Gucci bag and then I got it and it was like, a Fucci bag, I would not be happy that it's still a bag.
Well,
you know?
Can
like,
I say, is the label on the outside the same? Yeah, that's why I'm getting it for appearance. So I'm not getting it to like improve my life. So,
right, that's true.
It was a perfect illusion, Lady Gaga. I hope Lady Gaga can buy a bottle of wine.
Speaking of Gucci.
Yeah. Oh my God. The house of Gucci. Oh God. Gaga, why are you in that? So in total, he found 400 bottles of wine in his collection that were proven to be fake. That totaled over $4 million.
Woof. Okay. This annoys me because I switch my bed frame around. And I don't even have room to store my box spring in my apartment. And this motherfucker has room for over 400 bottles of wine. Like, you have to presume that 400 is not the whole collection. Oh, so
mm-hmm. I feel
just annoyed. This is making me like a communist. Just kidding. But I'm like, give me some of your space. I don't want to pay fucking $90 a month on MakeSpace to store a box spring.
100%. Well, because you know he has an entire basement that's a wine cellar, and he's giving me divorced vibes where his kids probably don't live with him, so both of their bedrooms are turned into a wine holder.
Oh, my God. Pay for my loans and, like, let me use your space.
Ew. Yeah, can I have a box spring and 200 grand?
I'm very subtle.
You won't even notice it. So, not surprisingly, Bill was pissed. So he hired a PI and filed a lawsuit. Oh my God. I hope the PI was like called the Pino Investigator.
Ooh. I hope so too.
We'll make him a shirt or her a shirt, whoever they are. In 2008, 22 lots of Domaine Poncelet were pulled from an auction where they were valued at more than $600,000.
Whoop.
And apparently in the auction world, this was a very dramatic affair. You know how?
Oh yeah. Everybody was already drunk on the wines, by the way. They were already drunk on the expensive wine.
And the winemaker himself showed up, kind of like a Lifetime movie.
Yes,
and
right Laurent.
As they were going to auction them, he stood up and yelled, "Withdraw my wines!" Like full on.
Ooh.
Laurent,
I would pay to see that.
Oh my God, same. The not collective. A lot, but I'd pay it. Yeah, sacre bleu.
Exactly.
Basically, our boy was trying to pass these bottles off as wine that was made in 1929, even though the estate didn't start bottling wines until 1934.
Come on, man.
Simple math. Simple math. So the winemaker then tried to befriend Rudy and get as much info, get some tea from his as he could about these fake wines.
He didn't get much.
No.
I feel like.
He's not the pedo investigator.
No. It was really like Anna Delvey vibes, like when she made up a fake assistant to like book the travel or send the wire or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
Like he kind of did that too. He sent these people on a wild goose chase in fucking Indonesia to like track down wine cellars who didn't exist.
And you're just kind of like, okay, but your boy's right here. So like, what are you even trying to do? So Rudy on top of this also tried to sell more bottles of the 1947 Chateau Lafleur bottle than actually existed.
Oh, Rudy.
Hard marketing. I mean, inventory. Maybe Rudy's the cause for the supply chain issues we're having as a society now.
It's all backed up with this one guy who doesn't know how to fact check.
Everything's coming up, Rudy. The other, of course, iconic issue, the labels were fucked up.
Come on, man.
Mistakes on the seals, the spelling was off, the design was not concurrent, all these flaws that would not be on the originals.
This is like annoying because I'm like, well, I don't know why I want him to get away with this like whole ruse longer than he did. But I'm kind of like, this is lazy. You could have, I feel like if you had done some simple fact checking, like this would have been a lot harder to prove and he could have gotten away with it for a lot longer.
Oh, he would still be around here.
Yeah. These are just lazy mistakes. Yeah. Come on, dude.
My favorite. So his thing was he would say that he was just kind of sprucing up the wines, you know, giving them a little makeover. But in reality, what he was doing was buying tons and tons and tons of wax, collecting empty bottles from restaurants, had the printer, had his own little printing press. He had a high school newspaper in his basement. The sweet thing, though, Rudy just claimed that he wanted to hold on to memories.
And that's why he was taking the empty bottles from the restaurants.
No money, yeah. So finally, the FBI got involved and the detectives looked into these record-breaking auctions and were like, this is a little shady.
You think?
A little shady.
You think. So in March 2012, the FBI raided Rudy's home and they found this full counterfeiting workshop. He had corking tools, labels, empty bottles, the works.
And
Yeah, the whole nine yards. Basically, what he was doing was either taking cheaper wines and putting them in more expensive bottles, or he was altering the labels to make the wines appear more expensive than they were. And yeah, I mean, it's estimated that he sold as many as 12,000 fake bottles of wine.
That is insane.
Which is pretty crazy. He was convicted of mail and wire fraud in 2013 and spent 7 years in prison. And he actually had pleaded not guilty to those charges, but that didn't work. And he was actually sentenced to 10 years in prison, which was like a sentence that even the prosecutors were like, damn, we're kind of surprised about that.
That is a, yeah.
It is a lot. And it's also because he was the first person to ever be convicted of selling fake wine in the U.S.
Okay, so a visionary.
I was going to say a pioneer.
A pioneer. There always has to be the first. There's the first man on the moon and the first Rudy.
Yes, a Pinot pioneer.
Ooh, yeah, pee-pee.
Love it. But here's the thing, because so he served his time. I'll get into that in a sec. But he was convicted of mail and wire fraud. But the investigators in the documentary kind of think that the wine scheme was a family affair and he wasn't acting alone. Part of those reasons are that in just 2007, Rudy wired $17 million of his earnings from the wine sales to his brothers in Hong Kong and Indonesia.
Okay.
And also his mom, this is a weird connection in the documentary, but his mom's brothers may have been involved in what they call in the documentary, they call it the largest bank heist in the history of Jakarta. But to me, it actually seems more like embezzlement than a heist. Like they weren't rolling up with ski masks on. Like
that's
one
a heist
of her,
to me. Yeah,
that's a heist. Yeah, to me, this is like embezzlement because like one of her brothers, Eddie, who's now a fugitive in China because he escaped from prison, he misappropriated like millions and millions in bank funds. And then the other brother stole $670 million from the bank he, I guess, owned and then fled to Australia.
Safe space.
So, I don't know, maybe it's family business?
I get it sounds, and also because it seems like our boy from the fuck-ups that he did, he seems like someone who needed a few hands on deck to help out.
Yeah, I mean, somebody was keeping him afloat. I mean, yeah. Startup costs.
I mean, oh God, yeah.
He had some money. Like before he started doing this wine, you have to have some money to like roll in this kind of sphere. And nobody knows where that came from.
That's right.
So who knows? So he also was ordered to pay $28.4 million in restitution to seven victims, which seven? That's it? That's right? Like $4 million a victim.
Not really. Like, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people. And also, I'm like, so they get their money back from buying. You know, they just bought other rich wine with this money.
Right. Yeah. Crazy. I know. I have a hard time feeling bad for these people.
That's exactly. Can't they give the money to like vineyards to like help them? I don't know. I know that probably wouldn't make sense, but you know what I mean? Just like at least like so like people who work can get this money.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like they could do something better with it. But he also had to forfeit $20 million in property. I feel like I also forgot to say that he was driving, like, expensive cars, you know, as you do when you're trying to impress rich people.
Keep appearances. The Joneses.
Yeah. So in November 2020, he was released from prison. And in March of this year, he was deported to Jakarta because he had that felony charge and was convicted. And,
well,
yeah.
There is that.
And that's all she wrote. I mean, again, I do respect the hustle.
You know?
I wish he... I'm just like... It's hard to root for someone when you're like, you're making basic mistakes, man.
That's, I feel like, the end game where I'm like, at least, like, you know, Anna kept the people going for a while, but she had some super mistakes. All these scammers, but the rich people, I guess, are easy to scam. You just got to keep up the bare minimum, and that's what they fail to do.
Ugh, Anna. Yeah. I feel like she didn't even make stupid mistakes. She just like, she was just operating on borrowed time. There's only so long you can keep like doing a check kiting scheme before the banks shut you out.
That's true.
So, I mean, not that I think her thing was like better, but you know.
You know, she was just
less involved.
Less involved.
True.
But you excited to get involved in this game?
Yeah, I hope we can learn about wine.
Ooh.
All right. God bless Rudy for scamming the people who maybe had it coming. To be quite fair.
Not a Theranos.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, who's really getting hurt? Right. People we ultimately can't feel that bad for.
People who should be paying more taxes.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's not like anybody sunk their life savings into this wine. It's kind of like there's more where that came from.
Yeah. In the documentary, they do describe them as being people that had kind of like fuck you money, you know?
Oh, yep.
I mean, if you're in a group called the Angry Men, like.
Right.
Yep.
Well, for today's game, we are diving into the world of wine, as you accurately predicted.
Yes.
Who could have guessed it? And this game is going to be called My Way or The Sideways.
Oh.
This is how it's going to work. I'm going to ask you a positively obscure question about wine, and you will have two options. You can either try to answer it, or you can go sideways. If you go sideways, you're going to get a different question. But this question is going to be about pop culture and wine in some way. So it can be about the movie Sideways, which, of course, is the most iconic movie about wine. So I know, Sarah, you haven't seen it. But there's also questions about songs, celebrities, TV shows, celebrity wines, all that
kind of
stuff.
What is the connection to this and Sideways?
Because it's a movie about wine.
Oh, thank you. I don't know. I've never seen it.
So if anyone hasn't seen it, Sideways is a movie with Paul Giamatti that is all about wine. And it's a fantastic movie. It was nominated for an Academy Award. Ooh. It is super funny and worth a watch.
He's like high key or like low key one of the best actors.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
He could not agree more.
Loved him in Big Fat Liar. That's all I can say.
Iconic.
Iconic. I just rewatched Holes, so I'm like, all right, I got to relive my childhood movies. And that shit still slaps.
I'm sure, yeah.
Digging up holes.
Thank you.
I even read that book when I was a kid.
It's so good.
Because I liked the movie so much. I was like, okay, now I need to read the book.
Yes.
You're on the buff.
Yeah. All right, Danny, you are up first. And your first question is, what two grapes make up most wines of Bordeaux? Now, that is your question. It's two wine varieties. And Bordeaux. I'll remind you, you can either try to answer this or you can go sideways.
Would that be a Cabernet Merlot?
That is correct, Danny.
Wow. Good job.
Danny, on the board with style.
I got my regions sometimes.
All right, Sarah, it is back to you after Danny aced that one out of the park. How many liters does the biggest kind of wine bottle hold? So for context, a regular wine bottle holds 0.75 liters of wine.
I'm not going to get this, so I'm going to go sideways.
Ooh. Going sideways. All right, here we go. Our first sideways questions. By the way, the correct answer to that was 15 liters.
I would have said 10, so would have gotten it wrong.
Which is equivalent to about 20 regular bottles of wine.
How do you it even is, pick that
but
up?
Like, how are you going to drink that? Like, you can't open it.
That's what I wonder. Yeah.
Maybe that's how I die. Because I buy one of those wines.
That's gonna be my bomb shelter. They're like, you don't have any canned food. I'm like, yeah, honey, I'm not surviving this shit.
Yeah, nope. I'm just gonna go out with the
bottles are called Nebuchadnezzar. I don't even know how to pronounce that, but I think it has some sort of biblical like allusion.
It sounds like a name I heard. Oh my god.
All right, Sarah, your sideways question is, according to an infamous people eater, what wine is a perfect pairing with human liver?
I'm like, who was this? Was it Army Hammer? Okay, liver, human liver. I'm going to go with, I'm like, how many types of red wine are there? I know like three. I don't know. I'm going to just go with a nice burgundy.
That is incorrect, Sarah. Danny, do you know this?
Is it Pinot Noir?
That is incorrect as well. This is from Hannibal.
Hannibal
Lecter.
Oh.
I was assuming it had to be red wine for filming because it was.
It is red wine. Okay. He eats his a census taker that comes to his house, and nice. He says that the perfect pairing is some fava beans and a nice glass of Chianti.
Ooh.
Oh.
Good
wine. Wait, but fava beans are just beans.
I think that's like him lying, I guess.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Danny, we are back to you. How many states in the United States have wineries?
Hmm.
Oh. Some places get away with calling something a winery that's not really a winery, so this is what's...
Truly.
Yes, you are correct. Some of these places don't even grow their own grapes. They just import grape juice and then...
What the hell? How does that count?
Okay.
So, yeah.
Why do I want to be like 43?
That is incorrect, Danny.
Okay.
The correct answer is 50.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Literally every single state has wineries in it, including Hawaii. There's Hawaiian wine. Alaska. They're one of those states that imports.
Ice wine?
They don't even do, they might do ice wine, but they also just import regular wine, like wine grape juice imported, grown in other regions, and then ferment it and make their own wine.
What is our definition of like winery?
Because that's why I was like, Alaska can't even front with that because what the fuck is growing? Like, no.
Literally.
Like, no.
Even New York is like iffy.
Oh my God, how city, whatever, is like, oh my God,
there are great wines grown in Niagara.
Like,
you can grow, so you can grow, I think there are wineries and vineyards in upstate New York near Buffalo and stuff. You can actually
there are like out on Long Island too.
Oh,
but I'm
just
like, what do you do like, you know, 2/3 of the year when it's freezing?
No, because I would, if anyone likes sparkling Prosecco, to say winery, it's like near Saugerties, New York. It's one of my favorites. Just saying, shout out.
Let's go. I'm
Let's
there.
Do it.
She's a party, the girl who owns it, the woman who owns it.
Ooh, I love that.
All right, Sarah, we are back to you. Which country in the world has the largest area of vineyards?
What's the biggest country? I mean, I want to say France, but France is not that big.
If you're unsure, you can always go sideways.
Well, then the
too.
United States.
Final answer?
Yeah.
That is incorrect, Sarah.
Fucking.
The correct answer is Spain.
I knew that.
I would not have known that.
I didn't, because I always thought it was France, and then until recently I learned that it was Spain.
Yeah, they have 1.1 million hectares of vineyards in Spain. They grow a lot of wine in Spain. They love that thing.
They got good wine, too.
Damn, we have every state has their own vineyard, and we still don't have the most. Boo.
Yeah, well, because it's like the size of, because that's how shitty some vineyards in some states are, where it's like one,
right?
It's like a building. And I'm like, what is here? I'm like, you're growing mold.
There we go.
Which could be wine.
All right, Danny, back to you. Wines such as sherry or port are made by adding extra alcohol at different stages of the production process. What is this type of wine called?
I know it's a dessert wine, but is that like not?
Is that your final answer?
Well, I know that's what it is on the menu. I'll say that, yeah.
You can go sideways if you want.
Oh, I forgot about that option.
You going to stick with dessert or?
I am.
That is incorrect, Danny.
Oh, I didn't know if you were full, like.
Is it a cognac?
Reverse psychologizing me.
No, it is called fortified wine.
Oh.
So it's sherry, port, vermouth,
I do like
sweet vermouth. Yeah. So those start off as wine and then there's alcohol added either at the beginning or after fermentation or after aging. And then that turns them into like fortified wines. So they have typically
higher. I did not know vermouth was a wine. I got to start drinking that shit.
Yeah. Put it in your martinis. It's perfect.
I don't know if I would drink it straight up, but... I mean, if you like it, go for it.
I might.
I also hate sherry so much.
Oh, I never had it.
It's a little, it's a little weird. In the movie Groundhog Day, this is a fun fact, Bill Murray's character drinks a glass of sweet vermouth with a twist every single day.
What's the twist? The movie. Oh, like lemon?
Which sounds,
like a lemon twist?
Yeah, which sounds really gross.
Gross. That's gross.
All right, Sarah, we are back to you.
Okay.
The vast majority of grapes used in winemaking are from what species? I have a couple of multiple choices for you here.
Okay.
Vitis labrusca.
Oh, God.
Vitis rotundifolia. Or Vitis vinifera.
Can I go sideways?
You can go sideways. We're going sideways. All right. Here we go. The correct answer.
I don't know.
I never took Latin. This is not for me.
The correct answer, by the way, was Vitis vinifera.
And that does sound the most wine-esque, I suppose.
And I think it's almost like 95% of all wine comes from this type of grape.
Hmm.
All right. So going sideways. Here we go. What wine varietal does Lizzo mention in her hit song, Juice?
Singing it in my head. Huh.
It's towards the beginning.
Fuck, I'm just going to go with Moscato because it's the most similar to Juice.
That is incorrect, Sarah. Oh. The correct answer is Chardonnay.
Oh, man.
She says,
what's
I'm
the line?
Chardonnay get better over time, so you know.
Oh, I would have never thought of that.
Also, I'm looking at Lizzo sideways for liking Chardonnay because it's not my favorite.
It's not my favorite.
Even though she can probably afford a good Chardonnay, but I'm just saying.
That is the big difference, isn't it?
So she's like...
Yeah, maybe the $5 Chardonnay we're buying doesn't really accurately depict what Chardonnay
the fault
really
is us?
Is.
What are
I'm
you
sure,
saying?
I'm sure it could hit difference.
Are we the problem?
All right, Danny. This is your question. What is the naturally occurring substance found in red wine that can give it a sometimes bitter, dry, or astringent feel?
Tannins.
That is correct, Danny. Well done. Woo! Well done.
Oh my God, getting a sip of tannins is rough.
Blech.
Yeah, it is tannins. I mean, just the right amount of tannins is nice.
It is nice. You know. I like an oak moment, yeah.
But when you go overboard... Come on.
It's like you're like, is there, did I break, did I break the cork in here?
What are you doing? All right, Sarah, this is the last question. And the stakes are high, Sarah. You have no points right now. If a champagne is sec, S-E-C, what does that mean?
Oh, dry.
That is correct,
Boom,
Sarah.
French major.
Well
Let's go.
Done. You were on the board. However, it was not quite enough, as Danny is the winner of this week's My Way or Sideways.
And the gift is, Sarah, you cannot watch Sideways the movie.
I feel like I should. I'll add it to my list.
The Way We Were and Sideways.
Yes.
Good Halloween flex.
Yes. All right. Oh, well, thank you, Jorge. That was so fun.
No problem.
We gotta have some wine and talk about these answers.
And thank you all, as always, for listening. Make sure to, of course, we say it every time, but it always works, so we keep on saying it, to join the Facebook group, Not Another True Crime Group.
Yes, and just put something about the podcast in your answer. Somebody put that they want to be friends with us. I'm like, thank you. We're best friends,
exception.
By the way.
Yes. Drinking wine with you soon.
Yes, so do that. Follow us on Instagram at Not Another True Crime. We post memes, I post trivia, I make typos. It's a fun time.
And you can also follow Sarah on her personal Instagram, Sarah the Meme.
You can, and follow Danny at Kashmir Danny with a K.
And we'll see you next week.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Levine and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Levine. Be sure to follow at NATCPod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to NATC@betches.com. Betches.